And I just want to say that we had a great weekend at the marriage retreat. And I just want to say a special thank you to all those who worked hard to make that happen. Thank you, Chris, for bringing a worship team out and giving us the full deal there on Friday and Saturday, and then again here on Sunday. That's a lot of work. We appreciate that. I appreciate the breakout session people, Ardith Hemming, who led the women, and Ken Dewar with the men, and Brian Driver with everybody on finances. So many more things that need to be thanked there. It's hard to, but we had a great time. And as I said at the marriage retreat yesterday, marriage is not a word. It is a sentence, a life sentence. And so you need to figure out how you're going to make that work and thoroughly love it. And I want to ask Don and Deb Schuling if they'd come up here, because they're going to help us with that some more this morning as they bring their time with us to a close. And if you just welcome them, please. Thank you.
Thanks, Robin. Thank
you. Okay. So, yeah. And Don and Deb come from Maple Ridge Baptist Church, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves more fully to you, but they're in marriage, family, and a great deal of things there to help people. So I'm just going to turn this over to them, and let me just have a quick word of prayer with you as we do that. Father, I just want to thank you for this fourth time that we have the privilege of hearing from Don and Deb. We pray, fill them with your Spirit, Lord Jesus, and to give us the ears to hear and the hearts to receive and the grace to put this into practice this morning. So be with them and bless our time. And thank you again for lending us these great servants of yours for this weekend. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks a lot. Wow, the weekend's here and the weekend's gone. And I, first of all, want to thank you for creating such beautiful weather for our 3 days here. Absolutely sunny the whole time. As I've heard, Campbell River is always like this. So
that's what they said.
No, we appreciate the weekend and everybody who has work. And Robin has mentioned them, but Robin's done a great job, and we appreciate you guys. And just so you all know, if you're looking for a good bed and breakfast to go to, the Martins have a fantastic one, okay?
And I hear he promises breakfast in bed to all the marriages every weekend from now on.
That's right. And for us, it's been great to connect. 25 years ago, we were directors at Camp Kiwano, so some of you remember us from back then, and it's been kind of nice to connect with some of you from those years way back when our kids were really, really little, and now I have to look up to them instead of them looking up to me. And we just, it's been a lot of fun, and it's been great, and you've graciously opened your arms and your hearts to us, and we are so thankful for that. We came this weekend because we're so committed to our marriage, but to your marriage, and above all, to God's call on marriage.
So to start our morning, we want to talk about marriage. Makes sense? During a marriage ceremony, we say that marriage is an honorable estate instituted by God in the time of man's innocence, blessed by the presence of our Lord at the wedding of Cana in Galilee, and likened by the Apostle Paul to the union that exists between Christ and his church.
We believe that the strength of a church is tied directly to the strength of the family, and our family strength will only be as strong as our marriages are. And Robin mentioned that we're family ministry pastor at Maple Ridge Baptist Church. We've been in family ministry for about 10 years, and we deal with marriages, pre-marriage, a lot of family things. We do parenting courses. We seek to empower our parents to be the primary faith formers in our kids' lives. And so we do events for them and resource them in a number of things because we believe so strong that marriages and family build a strong church. So it only stands to reason with all those things that God cares about, that Jesus was at that first wedding and he performed that miracle, that's a reason God has also a design for all of our marriages.
God designed marriage to be a place where trust, openness, and vulnerability can thrive. He made it so that it could be nourishing, enriching, and growth-producing.
When he created man, unlike the rest of his creation, which he pronounced as good, In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "The Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone."
And if you'll notice with us, that statement was made before sin entered the world. Why would he say this?
Because God created man, humanity, for relationship. And there's a design for marriage that we all need to understand. So this morning we're going to explore God's intention for marriage. We're going to start by asking a question.
What's this marriage thing all about? Anyway, answers we've gotten: to multiply and fill the earth. An institution that's broken. A life sentence, to quote Robin. A safe harbor. We've been a part of a number of weddings this summer, and we were blessed by two in particular. In one, held in our Asian community, when it came time for the witnesses to come and sign the register at the end of the ceremony, rather than the maid of honor and the best man stepping in to take that piece, the fathers of the bride and the groom rose from their places in their seats and came forward to put their signatures on the marriage document, signifying their support and blessing on this new home and passing the torch to the next generation. It was a powerful picture. In another, the bride and groom asked both Don and me to perform their ceremony. That was a first for us. As a picture of two people who are committed to marriage, to stand with them as they said their vows and committed their lives to each other and their marriage to God.
And since we had done the pre-marriage counseling, it was a visual expression of the significance of oneness of marriage. Two people working together toward a common goal, and because they are starting a brand new home as a husband and wife, it was meaningful for them to have a husband and wife lead them in their first steps. As we think about all of those things, we need to develop a biblical theology for marriage and family in the local church, and then communicate that to all ages.
We believe there is a Christian vision for marriage. Solid ground built on God's word and on God's purpose for God's people. There are covenant commitments of perseverance, permanence, mercy and grace, and faithfulness. And there is fruitful oneness, skill building to generate this fruit in our homes.
So we'd like to share that vision with you today. And hopefully as we share that vision, we'll spur your thinking to consider marriage in a broader perspective.
And we'd like to credit Dr. John Oxier from Axe Seminary with his wonderful metaphor of the marriage tree for Christian marriage. So using that tree as a metaphor, we recognize that strong trees reside in solid ground.
There's a first principle that we want to look at. And there is a solid ground for Christian marriage, and that solid ground is in God's word. So let's begin at the beginning, looking at Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 for insights into marriage. So human beings are made in God's image. The Lord God said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule."
Secondly, God made his image bearers, male and female. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them.
So as we carry on with that image, God made us for oneness together. And Deb's going to read these verses.
Genesis 2:23-25. The man said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and the woman were both naked, and they felt no shame." There are keys from Genesis. There is solid ground for marriage. Human beings were created to reflect God's image.
God's image was only complete after both male and female were created.
Marriage originates with God, not in society. It's not an institution man-made.
And marriage talks about oneness. Two becoming one is key, is a key dynamic to our marriages.
So second, there is solid ground built on God's purpose. If bearing God's image is our purpose as human beings, what is the purpose for marriage? We would submit that the purpose of marriage is also bearing God's image.
God is love.
We have the capacity for loving others.
God is relational. There's the Trinity.
We are relational beings.
God is our creator.
We create art, music, beautiful architecture.
In addition to that, God is merciful.
We can show mercy.
And then God is also just.
We invent laws. However, the fall warped our image bearing.
God is love.
But we love only ourselves.
God is our creator.
But we create unhealthy things like pornography.
God is a relational God.
And we think about how to make bombs and break relationships.
You see, the fall has affected our relationships in very negative ways. And it's damaged the image that we have of God in our lives. James chapter 3, verse 2, it says, "For we all stumble in many ways. We all blow it. We all make mistakes. There are many ways that we do not reflect God's image in our lives. But in marriage is also our fallenness undermines God's plan for his plan of marital oneness."
But there's good news. God renews the image of God in believers. Christ renews the image of God in believers. Let's say that right. Christ's death on the cross has restored our relationship to God, broken by the fall, when we trust in him.
See, the goal of spiritual growth is surrendering to and obeying God so that his character might be seen in individuals, in families, in marriages, and in the church.
And being renewed in Christ calls both individuals and marriages to utterly depend upon God's power to transform us and to actively cooperate with God in the change process by obeying his will. Philippians 2, 12 and 13 states, "Therefore, my beloved, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work in his good pleasure." God's power and our willingness to work are key.
But the world needs to see God's image. And we get to reflect that image to him. The individual believers reflecting God's image to the world. In our marriages, we need to be reflecting God's image to the world. And then the church is to be reflecting God's image to the world.
I spoke with several people this weekend, some of who know my father, and recognized something in me that bears his image. I carry his image because I am his child. We see babies and little children, and we talk about who they resemble in their family. As God's children, he wants us to reflect his image.
So our God is a relational God. Therefore, God's image, I just blew things. I was hitting this thing. I did this all weekend, so I'm just going to be really open here, okay? I'm still trying to figure out how to push the right button at the right time, obviously, and I fidget. My wife will tell you I fidget.
But we love him anyway.
So I click my pen, and now I'm clicking the buttons on here, but now we're at the right place, okay? So now you can look up there. Other than that, ignore the screens, okay? Just look at here. But now we're right. Our God is a relational God. Therefore, God's image is reflected in godly relationships, and we need to delve into his relational nature in order to gain understanding of what we mean.
So in God's relational nature, God's Trinitarian nature is relational. What do we mean by that? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit exist in an eternal love relationship together. Love can only exist in the context of relationship. Along with his mercy, his justice, and other attributes, love is the essence of God's relational character. We are designed for relationship and connection, not to be isolated. Because God is relational and we're made in God's image, therefore we are built for relation as well, designed. It's a primary need in our lives. We long for relationship.
Remember Genesis 1 and 2. It shows that man and woman were made for relationship as image bearers. It said, man, it's not good to be alone. So Genesis 2, 23 to 25 that we already read also shows that man and woman, just as God was made for relationship and with him to be image bearers, so we are made for relationship and to be image bearers also.
And made for each other. So what does a good marriage reflect about God's character? Lots and lots of attributes, but especially sacrificial love, grace, mercy, faithfulness, and most importantly, to portray the oneness of God. 1 John 4:12 says, "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us."
Remember, we've talked about God's mysterious nature, the Trinity. And it's so, so hard to understand, and that's part of that mystery for us. But God, it says, exists in three eternal persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, in perfect relationship.
And we spent some time this weekend exploring the mystery of marriage. Two distinct persons, husband and wife. Becoming one flesh, oneness. Genesis 2, 24 and 25. For this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and the woman, both naked and felt no shame.
You see, marriage displays God's Trinitarian character. Marriage involves living out the challenge and the blessing of oneness and plurality. Ephesians 5, 28 to 32, it says this, "Husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery."
So marriage is the crucible where we demonstrate God's oneness and plurality by loving each other and becoming one with our mate. We used this illustration much of the weekend. You, me, within us, two individuals, whole, complete, distinct, unique, within an us of marriage, larger than themselves, and having God caring for both of us within that.
So the purpose of the Christian marriage is to lovingly nourish and reflect the character of God to our mate, into our world. This especially means building that couple oneness, that unity together.
So we've looked at solid ground built on God's word and solid ground built on God's purpose. Now we need to consider solid ground built for God's people. Marriage is meant to thrive in faith community. We publicly take vows before witnesses so that we can be held accountable and mark the decision as life-changing for both family and friends.
You see, when marriages fail, it affects the whole community.
And models of healthy marriages in the church are needed to inspire and mentor young couples and old alike.
So a healthy church actively supports marriages. The faith community must teach and it must honor Christian values in marriage as essential to sanctification, to growing to become more and more like God, and to be image-bearing.
And the church can provide support to help struggling couples and to encourage couples that in their health and promote skills that encourage godly oneness. This weekend's seminar was designed with skill development in mind, and we applaud you as a church for making such a valuable investment in the marriages of this congregation. Good for you.
So the second aspect of our metaphor and vision of marriage is the trunk of the tree, and it represents the covenant commitments. So what is a covenant? Well, a covenant is a solemn agreement with binding force. The term covenant occurs about 300 times in the Bible, so it's a very important principle and idea.
And what are some of the covenant commitments in a Christian marriage? We could talk about a lot. We're going to consider four this morning. Perseverance, permanence, showing grace and mercy, and faithfulness. The first, let's look at perseverance.
So perseverance in God's character. Perseverance equals God hanging in there with us no matter what. God never gives up on us. No matter what's going on in our lives and the struggles and the heartaches and the pressures, God doesn't quit on us. It says in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things that are present or things to come will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus.
In a marriage covenant, perseverance equals I take you for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish. The second covenant commitment is permanence.
So we see permanence in God's character. Through Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, it says, Jesus said, behold, I am with you always to the end of the ages.
And in a marriage covenant, until death do us part, expresses our commitment to hang in there. Marriage is a lifetime commitment, not a convenience contract. And if it's going to be a life sentence, we hope it's a happy one.
Exactly. The third covenant commitment is showing grace and mercy. So huge in building a marriage. In God's character, it's shown through the words in Psalm 103, verse 8, when it says the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
In a marriage covenant, the reality is all too often found in James 3, 2, for we all stumble in many ways. And God wants our response to that reality to be from Ephesians 4, verse 32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another just as Christ in God forgave you. The fourth covenant commitment is faithfulness.
And in that faithfulness, we see God's character. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. See, the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and steadfast love with those who love him.
In a marriage covenant, physical and emotional intimacy is reserved for my mate solely. And forsaking all others, I keep myself only unto you for as long as we both shall live. We've considered the covenant commitments of perseverance, permanence, mercy and grace, and faithfulness. These can be reflected in
a covenant marriage commitment. And it says this, believing that marriage is intended to be a lifelong, fruitful union between a man and a woman for the purpose of glorifying God, we vow before the Lord, each other, our families and community, to remain steadfast in unconditional love and faithfulness and grace in our marriage. So as you think about those words, they sound very much like wedding vows, what we commit to. And I want you to think about those words, and then I'm going to ask for a little interaction here with you. If you agree with that commitment for marriage, I would invite you to read those words with me together. So let's do that with us together. So believing
that marriage is intended to be a lifelong, fruitful union between a man and a woman, for the purpose of glorifying God,
We vow before the Lord, each other, our families, and community to remain steadfast in unconditional love, faithfulness, and grace in our marriage.
The third aspect of our metaphor and vision is fruitful oneness. Now, confession is good for the soul. Don and I would say we're good at many things, but we are both terrible gardeners. So I know there are probably a lot of really wonderful gardeners out there, and I so admire your skills. We do not possess them. The last tree I planted got mowed down by a vigilante deer who probably rescued it from a slow death at my hand by eliminating it completely in one meal. It is ironic for us to use the metaphor of a tree for marriage, because trees and us and plants and flowers and, you know, it's just not our skill set. It was either children or, and marriages. We do other things. We just don't do gardens well. But fortunately, we have a master gardener who is not only skilled, but oh so faithful in nurturing our marriages as we rely on him to help us develop fruit. This fruitful oneness includes issues and the skills to deal with them. Issues such as unmet expectations, respect, communication, filters, hidden issues, problem solving. Skills like bids, building a sense of us, growing love maps, making it safe, making it clear, cultivating our friendships, and erecting doors, windows, and walls of protection. Having an opportunity to create a unique relationship that encompasses you both well and reflects God's grace to those around you while you model his oneness.
And these are all topics, sorry for those who weren't able to make it, but these are all topics that we explored over the weekend. And Deb and I were really wondering, do we ask anybody if they put toothpaste on their partner's toothbrush this morning? You'll have to ask them about that when it comes up.
So today we have considered the metaphor of a tree as a picture of a Christian vision for marriage. Solid ground built on God's word, built on God's purpose for God's people. There are covenant commitments of perseverance, permanence, mercy and grace, and faithfulness. And there is fruitful oneness, skill building to generate truth and fruit in your lives.
So part of all of this is building that philosophy of oneness and living out God's image. You see, and I said this at the end yesterday, but we are firmly convinced that strong marriages are the foundations for strong families. And strong families is the foundation for a strong church. And the result of a strong church is a greater impact in our community. And that's what we're to be as churches. So we care so much about marriages because we believe in the end it's one of the greatest tools that God uses to reach into a community of people who don't know his love yet. So if you want to let God use you to influence Campbell River, you need to start by working on your marriage to make it strong, to make it something that is a lighthouse. So here's our challenge for you today, and we're going to leave you with this question. Is your marriage reflecting God's image to the world? Is your marriage reflecting God's image to your neighbor? Let's pray. God, we come to you as just people. People who need you. People who need to come and ask for help. We've talked about marriages and we've done a lot of things over the weekend, but what we desire most is to be followers of Jesus Christ, to be able to bear your image to people who need to see what love, true love, is all about, what true grace and mercy means. and how that can be lived out in our homes, with our families, and in our marriages. So God, right now I just want to pray for each home and each family represented here today. We pray that you will bless them, that you will strengthen them and encourage them, that you will give them the courage to live for you, to be that beacon, to be that hope, and that through our marriages, through our families, through this church, we would reach into this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Don't leave yet, Don and Deb. Just want to say thank you. And I'm not a tea drinker, but I had great tea at their house when I was there. And I just want to say thank you for coming and doing this for us, a great deal. And I'm not sure what to say except you guys have given to us, and you've poured out a lot this weekend and probably tired yourselves out a fair bit. But I was wondering, could I just pray for you one more time? And would you stand with me, and would you, if you feel good, raise your hand out in support here of this great couple who have done so much for us. Let us pray. Father, I just want to thank you for Don and Deb Schuling and how they have given to us and given and poured out Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And Lord, they have been brave and courageous to lift their heads up here, so to speak, and to tell the truth. And we know, Lord, that in exhaustion and hard work, they become a much greater target for Satan. So we're asking, Lord, that as they've so given here and poured out, that you would fill them up, strengthen them, and protect them, Lord, as they travel home and as they continue to minister marriage to people for your glory. So keep them and preserve them, Lord, and let them enjoy working on everything they've shared with us here, and help us to take it to heart too. Again, we just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys very much for doing this. And they have to run quickly here, so you won't get to talk to them really. But again, just give them one more hand and thank them for coming. Thank you guys.
Thanks, Robin. Appreciate it.